We're going to pray and get started. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father God, we thank you that you open our eyes that we see and our ears to hear. And you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. The last two classes, we've been talking about the covenant. So we're going to finish up that part of it tonight. The old and the new covenant. So I'm going to go through and read some notes from my notes here. From the booklet itself. I tell you what, turn to Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, and I begin to read the scripture here in Galatians 4:22. It says, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he who of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate has many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, were the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." And so here Paul was explaining basically the two covenants. And what he was saying is that one is after the flesh, which is the law, and the other one is after the spirit, or the free woman, which is after the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When we read the scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. We can go back over there. We'll cover it again, but we'll read it again and see what now we can have some understanding about these two covenants. He said, cast out the bondwoman with her son. And he was basically saying that the two covenants cannot exist at the same time. So in the church, what we're doing, we're trying to live in two covenants. We're trying to live in the old covenant and the new covenant. That's why when someone do something, commit a sin, then we use the covenant, try to use the covenant to punish them with. In Galatians 4:20, we was going to Romans 8, all right, we're going to read that. In Romans 8, 1, and I'm going to read through three verses. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Remember that first covenant? It said it was after the flesh. He says, "But who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, and so he's Apostle Paul is explaining the two covenants, explaining how we should operate as members in the body of Christ. We go back, and when we started this class, we went to that scripture over in Ephesians 2, 19 and 20, where it says that we are no more strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God. And it's built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So everything that we do, we have to do it based on the covenant that Jesus has provided for us. And the Word of God tells us that it is a better covenant with better promises. And so we're going to operate in this kingdom, in this spiritual kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. It's not a fleshly kingdom. And so we want to get that squared away. It's a spiritual kingdom that we're operating in. So we need to know that everything that they was trying to do in the old covenant was done by the flesh. They was trying to do it themselves. But with this new covenant, we're doing it. God said, I'm going to put my laws up in their heart. He said, I'm going to give them a new covenant, and I'm going to put it up in their heart. So now this covenant is on the inside of us. And so there's only one thing that's in that covenant. I'll go back and we'll cover that. In other words, the two covenants cannot coexist in the same place. Either you are a slave under the law, or either you are a free son. You have to choose. In Galatians 21, the Apostle Paul concludes that by identifying those who have embraced Christ, he says, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free woman. And if we go to Galatians 5 and 1, we'll see what the Apostle Paul, he's tried all throughout the epistles, Apostle Paul in Romans, he was explaining the law and righteousness and justification. In the Corinthians, he was trying to teach the church the same thing. In Galatians, he was teaching us the same thing. He was teaching us to give us a comparison of the law and a comparison of being in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we have to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And so if you read throughout those epistles, he's trying to explain it. And so now we can see that it's the Spirit of God says, it's for us who are in the kingdom of God to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So in here, if we just read it just by reading it, we're going to miss out on a lot of things in the scripture. But if we read it, we're allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal what he's saying to us, and then we can begin to see these mysteries. We can begin to see it unfold in our presence. The Holy Spirit will shed light on this for us, and we can begin to see it. And so that's why it was so important for Jesus to tell his disciples. He said, now look, you know, he told me he has many things to tell them, but they cannot receive them yet. Over in John, he said, you can't receive them. He said, but when the Holy Spirit come, he's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to teach you some things that you can't receive because your flesh cannot receive these things. In Corinthians, Apostle Paul tells the Corinthian church that a natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. So we have to receive these things in the Spirit. We are apostolic church, and we are under the apostolic anointing. And we, as we know, these gifts, these graces, is maturing the saints. And so as we are going through these classes, what we are doing, we are maturing in the things of God so we can operate in this kingdom the way God set it up. And so we're going to have to believe and receive everything that the Spirit of God is revealing to us and begin to operate and walk in those things. He goes, the Apostle Paul says that in Corinthians, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, in Galatians 5:1, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. That means that, you remember when they they did the covenant, and they were circumcised in the flesh. He said, now, if you go back to the old covenant, he said, Christ has profits you nothing. He said, for I testify again to everyone that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the old law, the whole law. So if you don't do the whole law, then you're still not righteous, have not been justified in the sight of God. So he's saying that if you don't do the whole thing, you have to do every law, everything that he put out, 630 commandments, statutes, judgments that was in that law. You have to cover every one of them. If you miss one of them, then you're not right in right standing with the Father. So that's why Jesus came. They could not do everything that was in that law. They had a need for a Savior. And that's why Jesus came and became our Savior and redeemed us from. He said, I have redeemed you from the curse of the law. And since he redeemed us, then all we have to do is take what Jesus has provided for us and then operate in that. And so we're to operate. We're to walk in the way he provided for us. It says that, for verse 3, Galatians 5 and 3, he said, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. He said, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So if you try to be righteous by the law, he said, you're fallen from grace. Ephesians 2:8 tells us, it says, we are saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves, but it is a gift of God. So God has given us this free gift through grace. We didn't have to do anything for it. We didn't have to earn it. We didn't have to work for it. It was given to us by Almighty God himself. And so the only thing we had to do is believe it and receive it. And once we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then this grace that was provided for us, and we can actually walk in it. And so, and as we're going through this grace, what we'll find out, in every aspect of the kingdom of God, in everything that we do, we need God's grace to operate in this kingdom. We need his help. We need his favor when we operate. We need the Apostle Paul saying, he told us, I am what I am because of the grace of God. And so he's saying, if you're going to operate in this kingdom, then the grace of God have to be upon your life. And he will help you. Whatever you need to do in the kingdom, the grace of God has to be available to you, and have to be able to walk in that grace. And so I was thinking about you know, the spirit. We're in a spiritual kingdom. And one of the things one of my old mentors, my old pastor would always say, if you want to know how God did things, or if you want to know what God did and how he did, he said, you always turn back to the book of the beginnings. Always turn back to Genesis, and whatever God expected for man to have or wanted him to be, he said, you can always go back to the Genesis, go back to Genesis, and you can find out what he wants. And so as we were studying the Spirit, about the Spirit and the Holy Spirit and the things that he was, the spiritual kingdom, and when he said, in the beginning, the first thing he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And he said, and the Spirit that moved up on the face of the earth, and God spoke. He said, and so the Holy Spirit was right there in the beginning. And so any our beginnings, anything that we have to do, that's why Jesus told the apostles, he said, don't leave here until you be endued with this power. You can't do anything in the spiritual kingdom without the Holy Spirit's help. Even Jesus himself, you know, in Luke, he was telling us that he was full of the Spirit. He said, John the Baptist was full of the Spirit, even in his mother's womb. So he had to be full of the Holy Spirit. So anything that we do in this kingdom, we have to have the help of the Holy Spirit. If we try to do it in the natural, it won't happen. We become our own gods, and then whatever results we get is what we get. So we become our own God. As we go on, I read some more notes. Says that you have two choices. The rules, which is the old covenant, are to be free, which is the new covenant. And new covenant has no punishment. The new covenant has no punishment. There is no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the, of the Spirit and not after the flesh. Paul had to rebuke Peter for trying to get the Gentiles, believers, to obey the rules. He said, if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. So turn to Galatians chapter 2. Again, he's explaining to the law and the old covenant and being free in Christ Jesus. Here in Galatians chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, he said, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Let me go back and start again here in Galatians 2 and 11. I go back up a little bit further. It says that so we can sort of see it and not take the scripture out of context. It says in verse 11, it says, when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to blame. Peter, an apostle, he was to blame. He said, before that certain came to James, from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they was come, he withdraw and separated himself, fearing them which was of the circumcision. That was under the law. He said he was fearing them because it was against the law for anybody who was of the circumcision to be with those who was Gentiles. And so because of that, they had to keep themselves separated. And the other Jews dissembled themselves likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. He said, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, he chastised them before the whole group, all the apostles. He said, before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be best justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And so he's saying that, and again, justification means that I've been justified in the sight of God, that I can come back for all the sin that Adam put up on mankind and every sin that he committed. Jesus came along and he justified every sin that was committed, that I could come back in the sight of God without any repetition, anything that would come against me. I'm justified in the sight of God because of what Jesus did for me, and not because of my righteousness, things that I did under the law. Even Apostle Paul, now, here's a man who said he had did everything. He said he did the law blameless. Apostle Paul, but he's still in awe. He accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord. And once he did, once he found out who the revelation of Jesus, then he said, well, the law, he came along and he tried to explain the whole law to us. If you see, you can turn to Philippians chapter 3 and you can see what I was saying here. Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 3, the Apostle Paul, this is the one who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. He says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. That means, again, they go back to the law. Every time he said this, and have no confidence in the flesh. He's talking about the commandments. He's talking about those laws that was sent down from Mount Sinai. And so he's saying that that we cannot operate accordingly. We have to operate by rejoice in Christ Jesus, in the spirit. He said, and though I might also have confidence in the flesh, he said, I could have confidence in the flesh based on my credentials, or based on my resume, the things out. This is my resume that I have. He said, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, he said, I more. He said, he was circumcised the 8th day. That was one of the parts of the law. He said, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. And he said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, he said, he was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, he said, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is of the law. He said, when it come to that part, he said, I was blameless. So basically, he was saying, I followed the law. He covered every area. So he said, when it touching the law, he said, I was blameless. But what things was gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. He said, I could follow the law, but he said, Jesus Christ, when he came, it was a better law. It was a better covenant that I was under. He said, yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered and lost all things, and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. So everything that he had prior to this, he counted all as dung. His being a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and he said he counted as dung. Him being blameless under the law, he counted as dung, as something that come out in the trough at night. And so he was saying that when it come to whether I should follow the law or being right in the sight of God through Christ Jesus and walking in the Spirit. So we still, as the body of Christ, as being fellow citizens, we have to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Let me give you some more notes here. He said, you have two choices, the rules, the old covenant, or be free, the new covenant. Paul had to rebuke Peter, so we showed that. He went on to say, when we define ourselves as sinners, living by the rules, then by definition, we deserve to be judged and punished. And it goes on to say, and if we choose this old covenant, knowing that Christ has already dealt with the sin issue, which opens up the way for us to relate to the Father as sons and as daughters. Our apostles have been ministering mightily on coming to the knowledge, the revelation that we are sons of God. I mean, he's been opening this thing up, and we're beginning to see some things that we had never seen before. He compared two scriptures yesterday. He compared John 1:12. He says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, many as received him, he said, do they become have the ability to become sons of God? He went on to say, and when we get over in the Spirit, that's the part that manifested in the flesh. He said, God was manifested in the flesh. He said, but when we get to Romans 8:14, he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so we have the ability, but don't mean that we're going to become sons because we have the ability to become. But when we are led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, then that's when we can become sons of God, and we can operate in this kingdom the way God set it up. He goes on to say, then we are actually saying that Christ's death was pointless and are cutting ourselves off from the only thing that can save us, which is grace. And you can put down Ephesians 2 and 8. But look at how most church environments respond when someone breaks the rules. It says that all the responses are to shepherd the person back into right relationship with the rules. And so if we go back and we can think about all the things that happened as we've been growing up and coming through and watching ministries and watching churches, and we watch the news and someone did something wrong, the only thing, they lose their positions. But the thing is, we are positioning them to put them back in relationship with the rules and not in relationship with Christ Jesus. It's when we're talking about this liberty, we're talking about not liberty to sin, but the liberty of operating the way Jesus set this kingdom up. And again, I always look at this lady who was caught in the very act of sin and in an act of adultery. She was under the law, but Jesus was operating in a new law. And when he brought him to us, he one of the things he told her, and you know, he said, the person who have did the least sin, he said, let them cast the first stone. And so when he told them that, what he said, they all got up, and one by one, they got up and they walked away. And Jesus looked at them and he said, why, where are thine accusers? And she said, there's none. He said, neither do I accuse you. And so when he said that, he told her, he said, and now go and sin no more. But that was a love. That was a compassion. That was the love of Christ that was operating at that moment. So we're in this kingdom. And if we're gonna do it the way God said, he's what he said. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My ways are as high as the heaven is from the earth. Over in Isaiah chapter 53, 54, 55, and in that area. And he said, and so what he's saying is, the way I do things is totally different than the way you do things. We're in this new covenant. So our thing is to learn how this new covenant is operating. Punishment is a tool to restore a person to a right relationship with the culture of rules. So when we punish a person that are in the kingdom, we are trying to restore them to a right relationship with the rules. The problem is that in Christ we have not in fact been given a relationship with the rules, but a relationship with the Spirit. A relationship heart to heart, a relationship that practices love. In Romans 8, Paul talks again, he talks about the two laws, the law of sin and the law of the life in Christ Jesus. And he declares that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. And since the law of sin and death here, we can equate that with the old covenant. It's a law of relationship with the rules. So we've been set free from that law. But that is not the relationship reality for most people. Most people have a relationship with the rules. And again, we have that relationship with the rules, and we use punishment according to the rules. We do the same thing that the world system when it comes to the body of Christ. And one of the things that I always go back and think about Apostle Paul, he as he ministers and as he teaches, he brings us. He said, I'm maturing the saints as an apostle. And in Romans 12, 2, he tell us, he said, don't conform. He said, be not conformed to this world. He said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we in the kingdom of God, we can't do things like the world system do it. Our punishment systems can't be like the world system. Our punishment system has to be the way the kingdom itself is set up, and we have to operate accordingly. And again, that's what we are maturing in the things of God. And since we're maturing in the things of God, we don't operate this kingdom the way God set it up. And he said, once you do that, once my government is back restored in the earth realm, then all these supernatural acts that you see throughout Scripture, all these signs, all these wonders that you see throughout the Scriptures, then you're going to begin to see them manifest in the earth realm, because I found the people who are operating, who I can operate through, because they're obedient to what I told them to do. And when they are obedient, then I can operate through them. Awesome scripture came up yesterday as we was ministering. I get so much from just listening and observing. In Luke 9:23, and one of the things that turn to Luke 9:23. I need to bring that scripture up and let you see it. In Luke 9:23, and like I say, the Holy Spirit just giving me so much revelation from that particular passage of scripture, because I know I'm one of the ones who don't do this. In Luke 9:23, it says, and he said to them all, if any man come after me, he said, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily, 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 and follow me. That's from the time you get up, because, you know, with our day-to-day operation as we walk in through this life, yeah, we're not taking up our cross daily. We are taking up our cross when we come to church sometimes on Sunday morning, when we come to training in the Word on Wednesday night. But take it up daily. So from the moment I get up in the morning to the time, he said, and what we're doing, we're eliminating the flesh, and we're remembering what Jesus told us, from the beginning. And when he got over there, and when he said things like, it sticks in my craw, because he said, when he said you have to love your enemies and you pray for those who despitefully use you. I mean, you have to have taken up your cross before you even went out there in order to do that. See, in order to pray for someone to love someone, your enemy, to pray for someone who despitefully use you. So you have to have taken up that cross when you got up in the morning and put on that coat of spirit and walk out there. And when you walk out there, now you're following Jesus. You're following what he said in his word, and you're walking in the spirit. In Galatians 5, the Apostle Paul talks about what happens as we walk in the flesh. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. He say, again, we was over there, but we'll go back again. And we went read down through verse 4 in Galatians 5. So what we'll do, I'll pick up in verse 5 and read a little bit more. He said, Galatians 5:5, he said, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Faith that worketh by love. And so the kingdom, this kingdom is a kingdom of love. We have to understand that. As we go through throughout the scripture, one of the things that Jesus told us, he said, we have to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our spirits. And then he said, we have to love our neighbors as ourselves. So it's a kingdom of love. Everything, all the prophets, all the laws hang on this love that this kingdom of God is talking about. He said, "You did run well," verse 7. He said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" He said, "This persuasion coming out of him that calleth you," he said, "a little leaven leaveth the whole lump." He said, so if we try to operate partly in the kingdom, in the spiritual kingdom, and partly in this fleshly kingdom, guess what's going to happen? That little leaven that you put in there is going to leaven the whole lump. Again, I would think, I go back and I think about my mom used to make East Rose. And so on a Friday night, that's for our dinner, Sunday dinner. We always ate Sunday dinner together. And so she would make these East Rolls, and she would put yeast in it. And she would put them in a pan. She would cover them up. And so when you get up in the morning, their dough have risen, from a little bit to a big old pan. And so what the Word of God is saying, say, if you put a little bit in there, it's going to cause the whole lump to be leavened. And so, and so he's saying that if you try to live on once in the law one way, it's going to leaven. It's going to cause you to go all that way, because that little leaven, that's easy. Even Jesus talked about the Pharisees. He was talking about a leaven. And so when you try to do two things, two laws, live in two laws, one going to affect the other one. So we either have to do the whole law, or we have to do the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He goes on, says here, and he said, "I would they would even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." He said, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." He said, all the whole law, everything that he was talking about was in the law, was talking about how you treat your fellow man, how you're not, how you don't steal from him, you don't kill him, you don't covet his properties, you don't bear false witness against him. And then as you get on down to the statutes and judgment, he's talking, he even got down to what happened if you kill one of the animals. And all the way through, he was talking about everything that you do. He said, in this law, he said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, but if you bite and devour one another, he said, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. He said, this I say, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you're going to walk in the spirit, guess what? We're going to have to take up our cross daily. As when we get up in the morning, we're going to have to take up our cross and follow that and follow what Jesus have said in his word. That's the only way it's going to happen. He said, this I say. He said, walk in the spirit and you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the spirit, you are not under the law. He said, if you're led, being led by the spirit, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14, he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He says, so if you're led by the Spirit of God, he said, you're not under the law. He said, I'm not, and then he goes on, he explains the works of the law, which I normally don't read the negative part, but we're going to read them anyway so we'll know what they are. He said, now the works of the law are manifest, which are these. Then he begins to explain. He said, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Anything that come close to these things are operating in the flesh. So he said, and he goes on to say, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do so thing shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So he's saying that these are the lusts of the flesh. This is what the flesh, but we're not in the flesh because we are operating in the spirit. So even though we are not under the law, we still have to know what those lusts of the flesh are. And so we don't, we can operate, he said, we're going to operate the kingdom of God. This kingdom is a love kingdom. And so all the laws fulfill in our love toward our fellow man. And so, and he goes on to say, and then we did a meditation on these two passages of scripture. He says, but the fruit of the spirit, that means that those things that are produced when you walk in the spirit, this is what's produced. This is what manifests. This is what you can get a harvest of when you walk in the spirit. He said, but the fruit of the spirit, and that's a big letter, there's a big S in that spirit. So that means the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He's saying against such, there is no law. If you're operating by in this fruit of the spirit, he said, there's no law that you can, that even can come against any of these things. He said, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections. And if we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. If we live in the spirit, we should also walk in the spirit. And that means we're taking up our cross daily. If we're going to follow him, we're taking it up daily. Every day, and not just we can't just take away and somewhere. And I heard people who are in the kingdom say, I'm gonna put off my religion today, and I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna say this, But we're gonna walk in this thing. We have to do this thing like the word of God said. He said, and let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And then after he get through that point. And the Apostle Paul, he explained in the flesh, he explained in the spirit. And then he gets down to verse 6, Galatians 6:1. And he said, brethren, he's trying to explain this whole process to us. He said, brethren, he said, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual. So if we are taken about, if we're walking in the spirit, that means we are spiritual. He said, you who are spiritual, he said, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He said, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then he gets over there, and also he gets over here, And he talks about in verse 7, where he said, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. He said, well, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so if we're sowing discord, if we're sowing these things to the flesh, guess what? We're going to reap those things. If we take our brother and we kick him to the curb when he do something, he said, eventually you're going to come up. You're going to miss the mark somewhere. And the same thing will happen to you. And so he's saying that's why when the kingdom of God operates on a different system, we don't want to go destroying each other. We want to build up each other. A part of being in this kingdom, being fellow citizens of this kingdom, is to edify, to build up the body of Christ. So we're to build up each other. We're to come in and we're to restore that individual to his place of honor. Amen. They say, but that is not the relationship of the reality for most people. Most people have a relationship with the rules, and thus their behavior is motivated by fear of punishment rather than love. So, you know, I always think about in the world system, most people won't commit a crime because they fear getting caught and getting punished for getting caught. I mean, they would do it, but they say, you know, if I do this, I'm going to get caught and then I'm going to go to jail for it. Same thing in the kingdom of God. They say, you know, that they flesh is not in submission. They're not basically not walking in flesh. And if they thought they could get away with it, you know, in the dark, they might just, you know, we who are in the body of Christ, we do many things in the dark if we think we can get away with it. And so the thing is not to think you can get away with something, not to be fear of punishment, but it's that relationship. We want to think about that relationship. What's going to happen to that relationship when we do these things that's in the flesh? All these things that's in the flesh. And so that's why he said, if you're gonna live in the spirit, you have to walk in the spirit. We have to actually, this should be our daily walk. Paul explains that God's law is good in that it reveals the power of sin in his life. If you go through and read Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul got in a twix between, he didn't know what was right and what was wrong because his flesh was trying to take over. He was trying to, his flesh was telling him one thing because of the law, but he knew he was he got to the point, he said, let's turn over to Romans 7 and we'll see what he was saying. Again, he explained about the bondwoman. He explained about the two laws. He get in there and he explained that from, if you begin at verse 1. He talks about the law. He talks about if a woman has a husband and she separated, as long as he's alive, and she go out and marry someone else, she's committing adultery. That's two different. He's giving us the allegory here about the covenants. But over here, when it gets close to the end of it, he talks about, he says, let's begin at verse 8. He says, but sin, taking occasion by the commandments, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. But without the law, sin was dead. So when Abraham received, if you go back and think about it in Genesis chapter 12, where God gave Abraham the promise, there was basically no laws. God had told him the things that he was going to do. Then when he got over to the children, when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he gave them that law. He gave them the covenants. So what he was saying, the Apostle Paul said, at this time, without the law, he said sin was dead. Because if there was no law, and you committed an act, you didn't know that law, that act was sin. Now again, I use the analogy of the red light down here on the corner at 22 and 44. And if you go through that stop sign, if you go through that crossroads there, and there's no red light there, and you just keep going through on both sides, there's nothing you have not committed any act against the law. But once they put that red light up there, and you go down there and you run through that intersection there, and that light is red, guess what? You have broken the law. And so what the commandments did gave them a knowledge of the sin. And so, and by giving them a knowledge of the sin, that which we focus on expands. And so as they was thinking about the things they should not do, those things begin to expand in their lives. And even the more they thought about it, the more they could not do the things that were said they shouldn't do. And so it kept expanding in their life. So that's what happened to Apostle Paul here. He says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandments came, sin revived and I died. And the commandments which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. He goes on to say, for sin taken occasion by the commandments deceived me and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandments holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death to me by that which is good, that sin by the commandments might become exceedingly sinful. So what it did, it brought a knowledge of what sin was. And since it brought a knowledge of what sin was, now he can think about it and focus on that thing which was sinful. He said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. He was a carnal. He wasn't a Christian, but he was carnal. He had not received the Holy Spirit, so he was still carnal. And so since he was carnal, he could not receive the things of God. A carnal man cannot receive the things. They enmity against God. And so he could not receive the spiritual law on the inside. He said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. He said, for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. So that was on the inside. That was his body. He said, things I should not do. And that's why we always say, if you're going to walk in the spirit, you don't trust this flesh. This flesh will do anything if we're not walking in the spirit. It'll say anything. And so since it'll say anything and do anything, things that you don't even want to do, you end up doing it because you're not walking in the spirit. He goes on to say, he said, for that which I do, I allow not, for what I would that I do not, but what I hate that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is more that I to do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. See, the body, I always say, the body will follow whatever's in charge. And so if your mind is in charge and your mind set out, your imagination set out to go do something, then guess what? That body going to go along with that imagination. Whatever it imagines is going to do. But if you're walking in the spirit, which is saving, you're going to do what the spirit of God tells you to do. It's already, the laws are in your spirit, so you're going to do that. He goes on to say, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But to the will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that would I would not, it is more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He said, I delight in the law after the inward man, you know. And so that's why he told the Ephesian church, he said, well, you pray to God that he would strengthen your inner man, that you can believe, that you can walk in the spirit, do this, because you have to be strong in the inner man. He said, but I see another law in my members, warring after the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. He said, O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh I serve the law of sin. And so what he did, he conformed his mind. He said he would not conform to this law of sin. He said, be not conformed to this world. He said, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So with his mind, he renewed his mind. Now he could operate according to the spirit. He could walk in the spirit. We're coming up on Galatians 5. We may have done it. 5 and what is it? 20? No, 2 and 20. Galatians 2 and 20 would be our meditation scripture for this particular passage of scripture. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And this life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20 will be our meditation scripture for this particular class. Father, we thank you and we praise you, give you the glory, Father God. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes, that we see and our ears to hear. You give us a heart to understand. And we thank you, Father, that we're no longer just hearers of what you're telling us to do, but we become a doers of your word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Mm-hmm.